Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community. Our community podcast brought to you by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station. With the man who's out in the community all the time, he's going to prove it today, Ruben Franco. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it, because our community is your community. We love this name of this podcast. Appreciate it. And we have a spectacular guest on.
You got the new guy.
We got the new guy.
The buzz is going through town.
Weeks into the job, I believe. Christopher Best, the new district director for our Small Business Administration, which is a very important role here. And we work closely with the SBA, obviously, because we run an SBDC, which is part of our SBA funding that we get to run it, to charge no charge to any of our clients to provide the services that we do. So we're very fortunate to be part of that, part of the SBDC, part of the SBA network. But Christopher Best is our guest today, father of three, former Marine, 20 years in the Marines.
Yes,
so
sir.
We're going to let him talk for now. I'd like to let our guest talk. But Christopher, welcome to the show. Tell us a little about yourself personally.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here. So started off in the Deep South, right? Grew up between Georgia and Alabama, so raised on it takes a community to bring everybody up, and the mentality of no kid needs anything, which was amazing. Helped me become an absolutely better father than I would have ever thought, just understanding that. Yeah, started off in the South doing blue-collar work, plumbing, electrical, being a gopher for construction.
So you're my new HVAC guy then.
Yeah, I've done that some on my own, maybe not the best. It was more so I loved the landscaping. That was having the privilege to build a few football fields and soccer fields for high schools back in my hometown, and everything was pretty amazing. But yeah, after that, realized I was not ready for school at the time after high school. So I went in and enlisted. I was going to be in the Navy, and then the Navy recruiter was late. So the Marine recruiter came over, and it was probably the best missed 45 minutes ever, just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And yeah, easy sign up. And then here I am 20 years later after a full career, which was the most challenging and amazing experience of my life. I was humbled every single day of what we were able to do to just help others and just everybody I was able to meet. Normally, we all hear bad stories about people and their recruiters. Mm. No, my recruiter did not lie to me. I was able to travel. I had the privilege of about 12 plus different countries, and I've lived in four or five different states throughout the past 20 years, and it was just a truly amazing experience that's helped me see the world and everybody in it in just such a better light.
Thank you for your service. We can't get by or as long as a country without people serving, and you serving for 20 years is amazing, and we appreciate your service. You're also a father of three. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, I have two boys and a girl, so being a girl dad changes everybody in ways you didn't expect.
I know, my daughter just got married this weekend. So.
Congratulations on that.
Definitely a girl dad,
Mine's 11, so I got a little ways for that, hopefully.
It goes by fast, though.
Believe me. My oldest, Briar, he's 12. He'll be 13 in October. It's crazy. He's already 6 foot tall. About 170 pounds, at about to be 13, and he's already taller than me, which he makes every opportunity to stand behind me and just stand there and prop his arm up on it.
Good for him.
Amazing. Then my daughter, Quinlan, she's 11. And then my youngest, Barrett, he just turned 8 earlier this month. So they're all about a head off of each other in height now. So it makes photos great.
Sure.
But clothes shopping's a little bit easier for my oldest because he'll just wear my stuff now.
So. Yeah. Well, until he grows out of it.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's on a path to grow out of it.
Yes, very quickly. And we're not sure where it came from.
Yeah.
Somewhere back in the history.
It skipped some generations, but yeah.
Absolutely. But no, it's the greatest experience ever. I couldn't be more thankful to have been given the opportunity in this world and in this life to be their dad.
Yeah.
That is by far the greatest accomplishment that I can ever hold to my name.
I think it, to me, same thing. So personally, that's the biggest accomplishment in life is raising kids. Just, it really is. I think Jackie Onassis said it. I think she might have said it best, something about it. Like, if you mess up raising your kids, then I forget the exact quote, but it was just like, that's the most important job you have, right? That you're given, you're blessed by God to be able to raise kids, so.
Absolutely.
Can I make one point here?
Sure.
The promo material they sent over, because I have to type all this in.
Sure.
I smiled, because everybody starts with, I'm the director of this. I studied here. I did this. And way down at the bottom, they say, I'm married and I have three kids. His is the opposite. His says, father of three, before it says the SBA or anything here. So I thought that's something about the character of the guy.
That's the most important thing you do in life, I think, right? And it just is, everything else is fun and can be compelling what you do for a living, but raising your kids, I think, is by far the most rewarding and the most important things that we do.
Yeah, I was raised for a long time with a single mom raising two boys. I had all the respect in the world for everything that she sacrificed.
Sure.
And I didn't realize it until later in life. And when you start to see the things that you let go and you realize that it's not important than you thought it was. And then for my kids, it was definitely, if I can come from where I came from and then get to where I am now, which it's never a brag, it's never pride. I tell my sons that all the time, and my daughter specifically, it's not pride, it's proud. Just be proud of it's okay to be proud of what you've accomplished.
Sure.
And everybody will look at you and they'll judge to where you are, but it's a different type of person that'll actually ask how you got there.
So in your high school yearbook, it didn't say future district director of the OCIESBA?
My hair was probably some different colors. I had some hardware in. And it's great that the 90s is coming back as far as fashion, or has come back, because now my kids are wearing and listening to the music of what I was at that age. And they're like, Dad, you're just not cool. And I pull out an old photo from high school and I'm like, you're wearing probably what I had on, probably from the same store. But no, it was definitely not on my bingo card at the time of what I would have thought or where I could be at. But man, it's been such a humbling and an amazing experience. And I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity and everybody that's helped me get here.
That's great. What you mentioned, you were raised somewhere between Georgia and Alabama. What's in between Georgia and Alabama?
Well, apparently not much. Yeah.
there's some beautiful nature and some communities and people out there. It was close to the Atlanta Motor Speedway in Georgia is where, I was raised. So a lot of experience there, just amazing events in the community. And then early in my teenage years, I went over to Alabama. We moved over there, and that's where I was exposed to Alabama football and the SEC, truly.
Sure.
Which was amazing. That's where I learned I wasn't ready for school yet at that age, but still love Roll Tide, always. Make some enemies everywhere I go, but...
My new son-in-law went to Auburn, so you would definitely make enemies.
But that right there is a lesson in community in itself, because everybody in the SEC, we all have our rivalries, obviously, but the second anybody else comes into the SEC... It doesn't matter who it is. I saw the Michigan stuff on the wall.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but yeah.
And then my current school, USC, again, they took that trip over to meet us.
And Ruben went to UCLA.
Yeah, I went to the other school.
So it doesn't matter if I'm on the East Coast for my Alabama team or the West Coast for USC. I've got everybody that just, they're not a fan.
Every day upsetting somebody. You're upsetting somebody.
Yeah.
My neighbor is from SC. Nice guy, but he went to the wrong school for me.
So I love that when I hear that, because I'm a transplant to California, and the USC-UCLA rivalry, the ROTC program, actually, there's a Marine colonel that's the CO for both schools. It's actually a joint venture.
Oh, interesting.
The ROTC programs for UCLA and USC are actually under the same leadership.
I didn't think they could ever even talk to each other. Right.
So if it's another amazing opportunity to show the world like how grateful I was for the military and the community building, right there.
Yeah.
A huge rivalry here in Southern California, but all of the ROTCs are under the same command.
Yeah. And I will say about USC, a plug for USC, they're very well connected in the community, very entrepreneurial. They do a lot of great things business-wise, and we're very blessed to have...
Huge alumni network.
I think better than UCLA.
Oh,
yeah, it is. They do a great job with it, so we need to kind of learn from how they've done that. But they've been a huge one here in Orange County, actually, for USC.
Absolutely. And I'd be remiss, and I'd probably get in trouble if I didn't do the plug for it, right? So I'm a triple Trojan, which is I did my master's of business for veterans at USC. It was a flagship program that USC came up with specifically for the military community. It's amazing program. Condenses
down.
Didn't know
there is such a thing.
Yeah.
What is the program specifically aimed at what?
So it's a master's of business for veterans. And what they do is they understand that the military community we have, there's a lot going on that we have to balance. Professional lives in the military service, parenthood, everything else. So they had the amazing idea, and they brought in the same instructors, same curriculum, modified it a little bit just to be able to work for it. But then it's geared strictly towards helping veterans transition or take everything that they've learned and translate it into corporate America. So you're learning the same things. You're learning how to use Excel and get lost like most people
and
do.
Not to go down the rabbit hole and take over the interview, but we have had so many people come in and talk about the difficulty of making that transition. I ran nuclear submarines. Where's that job here when I come out? I ran avionics. So very technical skills that they've taught you to do that don't seem to have any easy application when you get out.
Yeah, but it's still leadership, right? You still, there's the still a leadership key, right? quality that I would hire all day long versus somebody who doesn't have that. We talk about football and all that kind of stuff, and you look at the rise of Indiana, and what they've done as far as recruiting goes is they're looking for people who played 12 games, 24 games. It's not necessarily the five-star, but it's people who have the experience. And obviously you had experience in what you did in the military, and there's other military leaders who've done it too. So I think those are great people to hire, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. I may be biased for it, right?
Obviously, yeah.
But it's... People don't really see the military community, as far as I've seen during my own transition, and help coach and guide and mentor others that have gone through it or are going through it or about right. to be, just understanding that what they have, the hard skills, the soft skills, they have to translate it, right? That's yeah. the biggest hurdle, is understanding everybody has their own encyclopedia of acronyms they're going to have right. to learn, and you have to learn how to navigate that space. It's not a given, right? And that's one of the biggest caveats I try to...
But we have had people come in and say that in some sense they felt behind. I went and served for 10 years, for 20 years, for a couple of tours, and everybody else went to college and got a job and started getting a resume. And so they come out feeling like, in the business world, I'm behind my fellow classmates here.
Yeah, that's a huge challenge that we go through. Thankfully, there are a lot of programs set up inside all of the military services and branches where you can get certifications, you can go through and be entrepreneurially trained, you can learn business, you can, in the cybersecurity world, there's a lot of our jobs that you have to have these certifications to be able to do it. And they're the same across the industry, whether you're in service or out, they're the same certifications because you're working in the same stuff.
And I'm with Ruben. I can teach somebody to do what I do, to move the board and to edit and other sorts of things, run podcasts. I can't teach them how to think. I can't teach them how to lead. I can't teach them how to react under pressure. That's what you guys have us. That's where I think we're behind.
When we oh, yeah. Way behind.
We call it the cool and the calm, or the calm and the crazy, right? Yeah. There's different, it's all context. You have to remember that. But when there's a lot of these men and women that are putting themselves in this position, they're the other side of their decision could be life or death. Right. And that versus meeting a quota coming right. up on Q4 sure, where you sure, have yeah. to get that yeah. those licks couple of deals in or yeah. you have to
you
move
mean that's
this
not
inventory.
Life or death. They want you to think it is life or death.
Some of the managers make it life or death, but yeah.
But and so that just understanding how they can step back, the thinking fast, thinking slow, balancing it is really where they shine. And it was an amazing point. They have the leadership and they have that maturity, because you have men and women that are in their young 20s that are already in charge, right? They have anywhere from 5 to 20 people that look to them for guidance, especially on the officer side. You're a young college graduate and you're put in it where you can have up to 100 from the start, then they look to you for your decision-making capability, your mm-hmm. guidance, and for good, bad, or indifferent, you make those decisions, you own it. And transitioning that into the corporate sector, it was a challenge, but I've loved it. And yeah. you do see many that excel when they're given that opportunity. Once they start understanding the lingo and they understand that you can't just tell somebody to do something. There's sure. there's policies in place, yeah. but at the core of it, their ability to analyze a problem and move forward with a decision is, we've all sat in meetings that could have been an email, that could have been somebody knocked on your door for a minute and said, hey, are we going to do this? Let's do that. They make those decisions right. and then are oftentimes restricted on how fast they can go forward because they already know how to maneuver in that space. They just now have to help everybody else understand it and translate.
That's right. What are some of the things? I know you're the new SBA director. It's been, a couple of weeks, actually?
June 1st, yeah.
June 1st. Okay, so yeah, went 6 weeks, I guess. If I do the math right, 6-7 weeks. What are some of the things that you can help veterans with through the SBA, through your role here?
So one of the big things, we have the Veterans Business Centers, yeah. right? The V-Box is what they're called. So you can go there, and it's geared specifically towards helping veterans understand that transition, the entrepreneurial journey, how mm-hmm. they can get funding, how they can get certified, right? If you're a services veteran, woman-owned, everything that goes underneath that, we provide, and through ourselves and through our resource partners, like the SBDCs right. and our networking ability, we help guide them from, I've picked up saying it, from the back of a napkin to what they consider success. And that's the backbone of our country. It always had, any great civilization is built off of the entrepreneurs, the small business owners.
That's right.
You look back, Rome, all the other, great civilizations, it was the small little stall owners and the people peddling their wares that's what built the society that continues to grow, and that's what we do here. So for the veterans, that, and then I'm myself and another district director over in LA, we're very poised for that because he's got a PhD from USC. I'm pursuing my educational doctorate at USC right now, organizational change and leadership. So having gone through that, I can help guide them. Hey, yeah. These are what benefits are available to you. This is what you can do with the 40 years that you spent serving your country. Here's some of the benefits. And through the SBA, we help them with those programs, the Boots to Business, the Reboot, which is amazing because it's expanded to the military family, the spouses, the husbands, the wives, the children. They now have the opportunity to get that assistance as well.
Yeah, and that's all great stuff. The resources that we have under the SBA, which includes the SBDC, which is what program we run, and we're very blessed to have doing it. Is this now 10 or 11 years now? Kevin to keep track. There's also SCORE. There's a lot of, and we learned during COVID, right? COVID hit March 14th, 2020. And immediately through the SBA, through the SBDC, through SCORE, we would have these calls every single day and have 600 plus people, businesses on these calls, just figuring out, what do I do? How do I survive? And fortunately, we did have the EIDL loans and then the PPP program and then all the other things that went into it, and we were able to do it immediately, which is nice. It doesn't always happen where you're kind of scrambling. We had those resources in place to do that. And then now, okay, so we're out of COVID, what's next? What do we do? What do we do next? What do you kind of foresee you doing in this role, and what's your kind of vision for being the SBA director here?
Being the network and the connectivity that just helps everybody get to where they need to be. It's a very simplified version, but truly it's, we want to sit down with anybody and everybody that we can that has that goal, that dream, that passion to be an entrepreneur or to start a business or to purchase a business, to grow a business, to expand, to become their own manufacturer, to agriculture, regardless of what it is. That's truly what I feel my role is getting out there, speaking with all of our resource partners, speaking with the local chambers of commerce, the local, working in the SLED environment at every level, meeting the representatives, meeting the everybody that's out there that truly cares and wants to help their community. Being in the Orange County and the Inland Empire community now, it's amazing. There's so much out there. There's so many people that really do care. And the people that I've met across it, my district, it's the Orange County Inland Empire. So Riverside, San Bernardino, Orange County. It's roughly 48,000 square miles.
Yeah.
Somewhere around 13 million people across this expanse.
There are states smaller than that.
That makes us that district makes us larger than, I think, only like 10. There's only 10 other states that might be larger than that, really.
Absolutely. So with that, the understanding of just how many amazing people are out there with their ideas, just being able to help guide them and be a centralized resource. What I was speaking to a couple of people the other day about was the noise, right? Especially in the business world, everywhere we go, there's so much noise. What we want to really be able to do, or for myself, is I want to fine tune that, right? I want to be able to get on the switchboard, make a couple of toggles here and there, adjust some levels, and really fine tune it. So when somebody comes in and they're looking for help, it doesn't sound like a wreck on the 405, right? It sounds more like a symphony that they can walk in. They're calm, they're relaxed, and they understand that they're about to absorb a lot, but they want to.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're trying to do.
Can I ask one more question here?
Yeah,
I'm sorry to keep butting in here, but we had somebody in recently on the show, Sylvia, interviewed them, the SBA something recovery centers or something.
We were talking about what happened in Garden Grove, right?
Okay,
so
yeah.
What can we do? And he came on, and I forget, I think his last name, Jack Williams, maybe his whole name. With the SBA talking about EIDL and things that
and
could.
And they set up a recovery center
up in Garden Grove,
Actually, people can walk in and tell them, maybe you've been impacted, maybe you don't realize I've been impacted. I didn't know the SBA did that.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I thought the SBA just gave out loans.
Those are recovery loans. Those are disaster loans. And so it's not just...
They were based on different criteria and all sorts of stuff, and easier to access and immediate money. And then I never knew until I met you and did some work with the SBDCs. I think there's a range of stuff I suspect that I don't know the SBA does. What does the SBA do? Ruben brings people in here all the time and I say, what do you do?
I thought you were going to ask a question on switchboards when he said switchboards.
Oh, that too.
Because that goes back to your...
That goes back to my days.
Your days, yeah.
No,
but I don't think people. So, if you could spend a moment and educate us,
what does the SBA do?
Yeah, absolutely,
it's a good question.
So, the SBA, and it's been amazing how many people I've talked to that don't even know who we are or what we do, right? It's a federal organization, U.S. Small Business Administration, and geared really, it's just making the small business owner and the entrepreneur just prepared, right? Yeah, we do the funding, right? We have our 504 loans and our 7A loans, which is amazing. It was just increase the limits. There's ways to use that to get up to sometimes like up to $10 million to help a small business. And then the big, we have innovation funding that we can help people with, just all of the resource partners, like you're saying, the SBDCs, SCORE, the Women's Business Centers, the Veterans Business Centers, the Apex Accelerators. We work with them just taking people.
But is it all money or do you do other things?
No.
So mentorship or guidance?
Well, there's no technical resources, right? That's what we do at the SBDC, right? What we do at SCORE.
Absolutely.
Those are all technical assistance. It's not just about the funding, but it's about how do we, if it's marketing or if it's just understanding Excel, like you mentioned, or it's kind of basic things like that you need to run your business. We have those resources and we've hired, at least with the SBDC, for instance, we have over 100 consultants just in the OCIE network. Those are all people who've had business backgrounds themselves. They're all either been entrepreneurs or still entrepreneurs that they've done it for a living 24/7. They're not, it's not just in theory, but they're doing it and they're doing it now.
One of the SBDC's, the Rogers Group, used to have me teach podcasting to people.
Right. That's right.
Because everybody wanted to know, how do I market myself through this new medium, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, we provide that guidance, that mentorship. We have the professionals that have been doing it for many years, whether we help them with getting certified as a small business, going into the 8A program, where they can get further guidance and really help with government contracting. We help with that as well. We help with the SBIR, so the innovation and research, we can help them there. We'll
sit down.
And
are those grants or are those loans, SBIR?
It all really depends on who the person is or who the business is coming in, depending on where the money's going to come from.
A grant meaning something, somebody gives you money to do the research and you don't have to give it back or give them any equity in the company, right?
Yes. Yeah, the grants. And then for the loan parts, very extremely competitive with the prime rates and just the terms that we can help provide. And then we have the partners that are the non-lenders. So if they wanted to come to us and it's not strictly through us, we're not going to turn them away. We're going to help them find a lender that's going to be able to help take care of them. That's ultimately, at the end of the day, we want to help them get there. And that's truly what we want to do. We also help with business models, business plans, understanding their cap table, understanding their COGS, right? The cost of goods, all the small things that happen on the backside that really business owners, they have the idea, they have the passion, the drive, and they might go get that startup and then they realize everything on the backside that really, and that's where we try to come in and help fill all of those gaps through our own experts and then with our service partners. So yeah, we do so much and it's been amazing. We can help with international trade. We can coach along that.
That's right. Wow. We have absolutely. An international trade group run by my former consultant and now director, Manal, who runs that very heartily, along with the Women Business Centers as well. And you're talking about resources. We can do an Intel research report that would typically cost you on the street $3,000 to $5,000. We can do that at no cost. So those are really valuable things for a small business.
Unbelievable. See, I'm not trying to be critical of the SBA. I just don't think you've told the story.
Well, you know, I used to kid like 10 years ago when we started and that we were in the witness protection program. people didn't know about who we were, what we did.
That's right.
I used to be a lender. I used to lend, to do 504 and 7As and conventional loans as well. And I didn't know everything about the SBDCs and SBA and stuff, even though I was a lender. And so we made a conscious effort 10 years ago to get the word out. And we could still do a better job because even Paul didn't know all these things.
I know. I sit in this chair and you bring through all these people. All right. I didn't know that.
We're going to give you a class.
Yeah. That's my biggest hope and goal and what I've set myself as a personal challenge is ensuring that everybody that I can and all the small business communities, they know what the SBA is, that it's a federal agency. I want to remove that stigma of, it's the government coming in. Yeah, it's the government coming in such a fantastic way.
Yeah.
I myself was a child of the SBAs and the SBDCs. Yeah. And when I went through and was doing one of my first small business ventures, just truly knowing how to, again, hear what can be done for me without just the noise and getting overwhelmed, that was the biggest thing. Yeah. Everybody tells you about so much that's out there that can help you with the state level, the federal level, counties, everybody's, they're willing to help you. Most people are... They're not as willing to go out and ask for help. That was something I had to overcome.
They feel stupid. They don't know what. Nobody wants to feel stupid, right? So you just stay away.
Yeah, that's, and it really helps when you can lead with, hey, I was that guy. I was that person. I know what it feels like to go out and to try to use an acronym or try to sound smarter than you are to fit in and understand you get corrected really quickly or people are going to see through it. So it was, I try to make it as easy as possible. We can have walk-ins. We host webinars. All of the individuals in my office are truly rock stars. I could have not been more fortunate.
We've worked with them for decades now, and you do have a very solid group of people.
And they all come from diverse backgrounds. We have sales, we have manufacturers, lenders. We had just so much of that, and we're able to take that lived experience and really help others. But yeah, removing that barrier of maybe I'm too embarrassed to go talk to somebody, or I'm too proud to ask for help.
I'm too small to do international trade. I'm too small to get a government contract. I don't have the right connections for it. I don't have the right size. You start immediately judging and prejudging yourself that this isn't for me. That's just
if you look at international trade, you go, there's less than 5% of companies that do any trade. So
amazing.
Now you're looking at, instead of 330 million people here just in the U.S. to sell to, you're talking about billions of people to sell to. If you do it the right way and you have the right products or services and stuff like that, it makes sense to check it out. Right?
Perfect example. I was just at the Native American Expo out at Agua Caliente.
Yeah.
A truly amazing experience. I had the honor of meeting tribal leaders and council members and an amazing woman named Tracy.
We worked with Tracy for
just
many years.
Spectacular on everything that she does. And she was able to bring me into that community. But I met a Native American individual. He's a business of one, right? Mm-hmm. Himself.
Sure.
Does international trade. He is exporting hay and other agriculture and completely took a roundabout way to get to that understanding. But he is a dad himself, a girl dad, two girls. But he himself, Blake, is out there doing international trade. Was helping himself, teaching himself, and then was able to use some of us as our resources. But yeah, that right there, he's a man of one, like a business of one, and he's out there doing international trade.
How many others are immediately saying, I can't do that?
They can if they want to.
It's not even the one. I truly feel that so many out there have the capabilities of doing it. They really do. And I use myself as an example. And again, it's not a pride, it's a proud thing. I came from not a lot coming up, watching a single mom struggle. And then to be able to make it through the 20 years in the Marine Corps, which there's so many others that have done so much more than me. And again, it's completely humbling to just be considered myself in that same community with them. And then sitting right here in front of you and everything that you've done throughout your years, just coming from all that, knowing what I didn't know then that I do now, all the way up to setting my kids up for their success and legacy with, hey guys, if I can get an undergrad in cybersecurity and then a master's of business and now working for the doctorate, positive mindset, get there May of 28. And if I can do that to just show anybody can, and I truly feel that. But it's that first step is asking for the help. And like I said, our doors are open, our office is open, the email's open. You can go to sba.gov, you can find the different district offices. Mm-hmm. And we're very poised in Southern California, just amazing group of district directors that have taken over, all three veterans, and they understand that need and that desire to help others. We're getting paid to do something that we loved to do while we were in service, and now that we're out, it's truly astounding. And again, wasn't on the bingo card in high school of, hey, voted most likely to...
most likely to work for the SBA.
Yeah, those things aren't out there, but that's truly where some of the greatest stories in this community have come from. And it is the Orange County Inland Empire community. So many just astounding individuals, men and women, young men and women too, that have blown my mind for everybody that I've had the opportunity to speak to and hear what their passions are, how they want to help. And I'm humbled to be here, to be given the opportunity to help.
That's right. And when you look at government funding, there's a lot of different government programs and stuff like this. I think from a funding level, this isn't actually, it's pretty small, new from a federal standpoint, but the bang for the buck that's done through the SBA, through the SBDCs, through SCORES, through the Women's Business Centers, the Veterans Services, is just amazing. When you look at the 10X, 20X, 30X that you get in return from this investment that we have, it's just phenomenal. Because 95% of the businesses we have are small businesses.
Absolutely.
And that's what our pretty much what our focus is.
And the big thing about the SBA I like to put out there, right, it's that non-dilutive funding. When most small businesses are starting up or the young entrepreneur, right, they're going to the friends and family first to try to get the backing or what they have and have saved up. And then normally they watch shows on TV where it's, hey, go talk to this billionaire and have them sell part of your dream away. And there's nothing wrong with the private equity out there and help people get there. But for most, it's their dream, right? That's they don't want to sell part of their dream away. And we can help them with that. And that's truly what I like to remind people as well, is that you don't have to go out and beg others for money. You can go and go through the lending process. The SBA is there to try to help as best as we can so that you're not selling away part of your dream to achieve your dream.
That's right. You can get a 7(a) loan or a 504 loan if you want to buy a building and create some wealth for your family and that kind of thing. And those are all good things.
So where do we go to learn about all these things here? I'm ready. Sign me up.
No, absolutely. Like I was saying, SBA.gov. It's super simple to get to, fairly intuitive to navigate through the site. The drop-downs are easy to find what you're looking for. And then, again, your local district offices, we have them spread out. OCIE right over in LA. We have one down in San Diego. And then all of our resource partners, we all will really just help you navigate where you want to go to. But yeah, SBA.gov is the quickest way to jump on there, find your local district office. Right. Call, walk in. We love having people walk in so we can just sit down and break up the monotony of being in the office. And that it gives them a safe and comfortable space to come in where maybe they don't want to go out to an event. Maybe they don't want to sit on another webinar. After COVID, everybody wants to get back out and be around people and engage. Yeah. So we give them that opportunity. Yeah, just walk into your local district office. And I would hope that it would be as open and willing to receive you as everybody I've met so far. I know we will always welcome somebody to come in. And if you don't get us on a phone call, leave a voicemail, please. We will call you back. We absolutely will.
Yeah, it's amazing resources. We've always appreciated the partnership we've had with the SBA. And we look forward to working with you and the rest of the staff that we worked with for many years and all the resources that are provided to our small businesses. Because that's what we do 24/7 is help small business. We work with a lot of big businesses too because they support what we do. And we're very blessed to have that as well here in Orange County. We have a lot of good partners that we work with. But we're looking forward to working with you. Any last thoughts you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, that brought up a great point. We have a mentor protege program as well, to where other businesses that have made it out of that small business demographic and are now wildly successful, they have the opportunity to coach and guide and mentor and bring a small up and coming business in. And that right there, being able to find somebody who's gone through it is crucial. But yeah, just another opportunity for us to help out. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what's out there. It's about what we can do to help the small business owners.
And all this is just waiting to be discovered if I just type in SBA.gov.
Yes, sir. Yeah, SBA.gov. It'll take you right to the site. And
maybe if I join the Orange County Hispanic Chamber, somebody can walk me through this and help me.
Just if Paul can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah. Again, just know the Orange County community, the Inland Empire, you have plenty of resources out there. And I got to do the plug, right? Fight on for the USC Trojans out there.
Well, we're going to cut that
and
off.
And the Alumni Veteran Network, we're there to help you as well.
Sounds good. Christopher, thank you for joining us today. And everybody who's listening, thank you. We appreciate it. And we look forward to working with you.
It's been an absolute honor and pleasure. And I look forward to coming back and having many more conversations.
Let's do it.
Wow. I'm typing it in right now. If you're not, I'm going to get there first. SBA.gov. Apparently, there's a lot to learn. Just like there is here on our show, our community podcast, because our community is your community, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.